If you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to kind of jump into it pretty quick. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4. We made it to chapter 4. It's great. Awesome. We're trucking right along, right? Slow country drive, baby. Here we go. And so Mark chapter 4, we're going to be in verse 1. And while you're turning there, either your digital copy or your printed copy, let me just kind of give you just a recap on kind of where we talked about so far. We saw where Jesus chose his disciples. He has authority. He makes demons tremble. He healed a man with leprosy. He healed a man who was paralyzed since birth. He shows not only authority over sickness, but authority over sin, which is a whole nother level of authority. He called Matthew, who was the biggest sinner in the city, who was a tax collector, and turned his life around. Obviously became a disciple, and obviously the man who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. We see the difference between religion and relationship. Religion brings a condemnation, but Jesus brings celebration. We don't follow rules. We follow Jesus. We follow a person. And then last week we asked a question. Mark wanted us to ask a question of ourselves. Do you consider Jesus to be a liar, a lunatic, or Lord? A liar, lunatic, or Lord? And so we saw that as we closed up Mark chapter 3. So the title of today's message is The Heart of the Matter. The Heart of the Matter. We have healthcare professionals who teach us all these things that we need to do to have a good heart. We got to get exercise, got to get a lot of sleep, we got to eat right, and we got to lower the stress. Trust me, I've been to a lot of those doctors and have all kinds of stuff looked at with my heart and everything. And so it's really important for that. And so the condition of your heart shows, will help the quality of your lifestyle, right? And that kind of makes sense. But it's also not just your physical heart, but your spiritual heart. Your spiritual heart will help determine the condition or the quality of life of your spiritual life. And that's really kind of what this is all talking about. And not only your quality of life, but ultimately your eternal destination. The condition of your heart will determine your eternal destination. So it's just kind of a little important, right? And so that's kind of that's going to be our focus for today. So in chapter 4, we kind of move beyond Jesus being sort of this direct sort of teaching, and he moves in sort of this this parable, okay? This extended teaching, and really in Mark's gospel, you have a lot of short snippets of his teaching. Okay, Matthew, you have like the Sermon on the Mount, like it's like, man, he wrote a lot about that. Okay, in one thing, you don't find that in Mark. Okay, in fact, what we're going to read today is one of two of the largest sort of teachings of Jesus, because Mark is just fast paced. Immediately. I mean, Mark is bullet points. I like the book of Mark. I'm a bullet point kind of guy. Right? Don't text me in a paragraph. Okay. I'm going to go to sleep, okay? Text me like, boom, 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 got it, good, we're going on. Not that I don't love you, I do, okay? But it's just, you know, I got ADD, and I'll zone out, okay? So I really like Mark. Students, if you're ADD, read the book of Mark. It's great. And so, but today's passage is one of the two of the longest of that. And so, but we see Jesus move into sort of this teaching style of parables. Now, a lot of people think, and I used to think this too, that Jesus always taught in parables. Well, that's not really the case, okay? I mean, even when you look at the book of Matthew chapter 5 and 6, the Sermon on the Mount, that's not really parables. You know, it's a lot of application things. You've heard it said, well, I say this. You've heard it said, I say this, and all that stuff. But in the earlier part of his ministry, you see that kind of teaching. Well, later on in the ministry, and you may think, well, aren't we in kind of the beginning of Mark? Well, we're at the beginning of Mark, but we're actually in the latter part of his ministry, okay, in Mark chapter 4, okay? And one thing interesting about John, the book of the Gospel of John, is that John, the reason why it's not as similar to the other Gospels, is John really kind of focuses on the earlier part of his ministry, whereas Matthew, Mark, and Luke focus on the latter part. Okay. Now, John, you obviously see the cross and the resurrection and all that kind of stuff. But here we are, Mark chapter 4, and we're kind of in the later mid to later part of his ministry, and he is teaching in parables. So why the switch? Why this switch in teaching style of parables? Well, the reason why is because you have this this extended teaching, and we see this in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read this verse. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" How will you understand any parable? So he's talking about, and he's introducing these parables, and for the first time, the disciples are like, "What? What? What? How are you teaching? This is a new kind of teaching." And today's parable we're going to focus on is called the parable of the sower, the farmer. Okay, the one who sows the seed. But I really like to call this the parable of the soil, because it's really the soil that matters most. So let's look at Mark chapter 4. Let's just read verses 1 through 2. And it says this: "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said," and then we begin this parable. So you have this picture, lots of people in the crowd. Jesus sort of elevates himself on a boat, okay? And a lot of biblical scholars, you know, think that, you know, he was kind of in a cove area. The water kind of helps with the reflection of his teaching, so people can hear. And so you have this teaching that's happening here, and the disciples are wondering again, okay, why are you doing this? Well, we're seeing in this part of his ministry the opposition of the teachers of the law are accusing Jesus more and more. I mean, the attacks are getting closer and closer and closer and more direct. We even saw last week, okay, in last week's message about more attacks and more accusations. So Jesus is like, all right, I'm not going to be so direct. I'm going to teach in parables. I'm going to teach in stories, because then, if you really want to know the meaning behind the parable, behind the story, then you're going to have to seek it out. And it's very wise for him to do that. And actually, he's fulfilling prophecy on that. And so the disciples ask him this question. So we actually see them asking this question in, if you want to keep your finger there in Mark, and if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13, in Matthew chapter 13, we see the same story. Now, this parable of the sower or the farmer, or the soil is what I like to call it, you see this in all four of the Gospels. Okay, so when God puts something in his word once, it's important. When he puts something twice, it's more important. When he puts something three times, it's like really important. And when he puts something in his word four times, it's like, this is so very important, your life depends on it. That's this, right? The resurrection, kind of important, right? That's in all four Gospels, okay? So this right here is in all four of the Gospels, this story. But if you look at Matthew's telling of it, we actually see a little bit more. Remember, Matthew takes more time and sort of develops it. Mark's like, hey, this is what happened. Boom, snapshot. That's it. Matthew's more of a, here's a video reel of it, okay? Mark's more of a snapshot. So if you look at this right here, Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 16, as is this, his disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they do not really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Now you may say, well, that's kind of rude of Jesus or mean of Jesus to sort of keep things hidden. Well, he's not really keeping things hidden. He's like, all right, you want to go to the next level in the relationship and understanding who I am, you're going to want to seek it out. You're going to want to try to find it and ask questions. So there's a blessing that comes from seeing, hearing, and understanding what God is saying. And if we go back to verse 12 on that, when it says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Jesus is saying this, when you intentionally listen and want to hear the teaching, then you will be blessed by growing in knowledge. On the contrary, if a person doesn't really read the Bible, or maybe is only at church for, every once in a while, maybe you only come to church for the coffee, whatever, or then your understanding is going to be diminished, okay? So what Jesus is saying is this, and just this is for us today. Look, if you really want to grow in your faith, you're going to want to know more, and you're going to want to dig deeper and be intentional. Like, what is Jesus trying to say? How can I apply it to my life as well? So you're either growing closer to the Lord or moving further away from the Lord. And even in verse 13, Jesus is saying, you weren't interested in hearing the word. You didn't value it, so you lost it. Okay? You didn't value the word of God. You didn't really care, and so you lost it. The more we understand the word, the more we can be growing, and the more we are accountable to it. So it's kind of like this. Here's an example, because I like to just try to put it in a practical example. Okay, here an analogy is this. Let's say you're watching a movie. Okay, you're watching a movie. You ever watch a movie? It's like, okay, wait, what did they just say? Right? And what do you do? Rewind. Right? Oh, okay. Or you put the captions on. Right? And the older I get, I can't hear as much, and then I can't see the captions. So I'm like, I'm sitting duck, right? But it's like when you're watching a movie, and it's like, wait, I missed something. I'm going to rewind and go back to that. Okay? Why? Because it's important. Why? To understand the story, to know what's going on. It's the same way with God's word. You read something, and it's like, wait, hold on a second. What did I just read? What did I just read? I'm going to go back. I'm going to rewind. And I'm going to look at it a little bit deeper. I'm going to be more intentional about it. That's what Jesus is saying. And the people in the crowd are like, wait, what did he just say? He's telling his story. And I love it because he's telling a story and people can remember it, but then they can walk away going, okay, they can mull it in their heads, and they can then, or maybe even ask Jesus questions. But if they walk away going, he's just telling stories, it doesn't really mean anything. Or if you're sitting here today or watching online, he's just up there, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, you're not going to get much from that. Okay? And so that's basically what Jesus is saying. So let's continue to read with the parable. So Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. And it says this, listen. Okay, that's an exclamation point. Listen. Okay? So Mark doesn't use a whole lot of that. When he does, it's very important. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still others seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. So there are four types of soils that we see here. The farmer is just sowing seeds no matter what, okay? And so he's just tossing seeds, okay? Some on the rocky soil, some along the path, some among weeds and thorns, but then some on good soil, okay? And he's just throwing seeds, right? And so you get this idea that that as believers, we would look at someone with a hard heart and they're thinking that, they really wouldn't be interested in the gospel, okay? And I've even thought about that as a believer. And you're looking at this parable, I thought, okay, well, why did the farmer just throw seeds on the path? Okay, why wouldn't he intentionally, like, dig a hole, put a seed in there, cover it up, dig another hole, you know? No, he's just throwing it out. And as believers, we look at people with a hard heart, okay? Like on the path where the dirt is compacted. Kind of like that path between the rows, okay? And so if someone has a hard heart, it's like, they probably wouldn't listen anyway. You know, how foolish is that of us to already prejudge them? There are people that I'm connected to within families of our church who are known to have a very hard heart, and we're seeing signs of that softening up through prayer, through being intentional, through conversation. And whereas before it's like, God's not going to mess with that person. I thought about that with my dad. My dad, man, he's like hard, hard heart. Okay? And I'm just like, okay, just Lord, have mercy on his soul. But I can't get through with him. And you're right, I can't. But the seed can. Right? It's very important. And we may look at someone with a hard heart and say, oh, surely not. Or someone who's shallow and they'll never understand. Why would I worry about sharing the gospel? Or someone who's so focused on the world and the worldly things that you're like, they wouldn't take the gospel seriously. So why would I worry about it? But someone who's really interested, but like, oh yeah, now that's who I can share the gospel. That's who where I can put seed and see it come to life. But that's not how the farmer was sowing the seed. What Jesus is telling us, don't just focus on those who have fertile soil ready to receive it. You want to sow that seed everywhere. He's not just throwing it in, he's just throwing it out in various places. And we can all get caught up in how fun or creative or how flashy the seed is sown, but not the farmer. The farmer. Can I tell you something? The power of the message is not in the one who's sowing the seed. The power of the message is in the seed. Do you understand that? Okay? The power of the message of the gospel is in the seed, the message, the gospel message itself, not in the sower. Some people here may say, well, you know, Pastor Frank, I'm just not smart enough. I'm not educated. I don't know what scripture to turn to tell others of the gospel. I'm not talented enough. I'm not well spoken. And I just don't think I can do that. It's not the ability of the sower. It's the ability of the seed. Sow the seed and stop worrying about the condition of the soil. Because the seed is very, very powerful. You ever walked on, like in a sidewalk, especially in a community that's been there a while, like an established community? You walk on a sidewalk, and there's a tree there near the sidewalk, and the sidewalk is all broken up because of what? The roots. Okay. Well, that tree, it took a seed to plant that tree. And that tree is so powerful that it breaks through concrete. When's the last time you broke through concrete? It's, yeah, right? Maybe you can, with a sledgehammer. But you can't go Karate Kid on it. And so the seed, that one seed, is so powerful, it can break through things. But the seed of the gospel is not only powerful, but it's purposeful. It has a lot of purpose. We even see this in, you don't have to turn it, but in Isaiah 55, 11. It says this, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When you as a sower, as a farmer, telling people about Jesus, just trust in God to take care of it. It's the seed. It's the good news. Even if you share one scripture and tell about your testimony, just telling people what a lousy fool you were and now how you're trying to follow Jesus. You're not perfect, but you're trying to follow Jesus. That right there is powerful. Revelation talks about the word of what? My testimony. The word of their testimony. It brings power and purpose. And so I just want to make sure you understand that. So let's continue on in Mark, in verse 10 through 14 of Mark chapter 4. When he was alone, the 12, the disciples, and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that," and this is a prophetic word, "they may be ever seeing but not perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word." The farmer sows the word. Now, what we're going to get into, so he's going to explain this parable. And he's going to do and explain really the four different types of soils. Okay, so four soils. Here we're going to talk about that. And the soils equal hearts. Okay, the soil equals heart, the condition of the heart. Okay, so the first heart is this: hard hearts. Hard hearts. We see this in verse 15. "Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them." The person with a hard heart has become calloused to the things of God. They've become callous to the things of God. They're going to live whatever life they want to live. They're going to reject the word of God time and time again. In fact, a lot of these people have been hurt by the church, or don't really trust the church. And by the way, a side note, if you've been hurt by the church, can I tell you something? Most likely that in on almost every situation, that is not your fault. It's not. I've been hurt by the church. Okay? And I know how that feels. But if you've ever been hurt by the church, that necessarily isn't, you're most likely is not your fault. And so understand, you don't have to carry that and make your heart hard because of that. But But the people who with hard hearts, they could receive the word of God, but Satan will come and take it because Satan hates the word of God. Satan will come in and whisper things in your head. Oh, you don't really believe that, right? You don't believe that religious hocus pocus? There's no way. I mean, your family don't believe it. Your friends, what are they going to say if you start believing in that? I mean, it's just a show. All they want is your money to pay for their lights and their video screens. It's all just a show. Whispers from the enemy will take that seed and divert your attention to something else and will take it and rob it and it's gone. That's what happens to a hard heart. But understand, God's word can still sink into those hard hearts. Okay? So we're going to continue to sow the seed. There are some hard hearts of you know, extended family members from within our church and outside of our church that we're praying for. God has the power of that through the gospel. So we see the hard hearts. We see shallow hearts. We see this in verse 16 through 17. So we have hard hearts and we have shallow hearts. Verse 16, others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So this right here is really important for us to understand and to get a hold of. The people who receive the word with joy, they could receive it, but because of problems, questions, pressures of life, they walk away. They no longer are around. They're just no longer there. Can I tell you something? If every person that I've baptized as pastor of this church over the last 11 years were still here, we couldn't hold them in this room. Some of you know people who I baptized, and they're not sitting here. Why? Because shallow hearts. Because of temptations of the world. Because of pressure. They walk away. They walk away. Now, is there hope for them? Absolutely, there's hope for them. And that's where the power of the seed can come in. But when you mix in the word of God with prayer and being intentional, and I'm going to get to some more intentional things here in just a moment, but when we combine all that together, it could bring somebody back to life. Okay? It could bring somebody back to life. Now, obviously, there are people who have baptized and who've accepted Christ and are here today because, you know, maybe they're working or maybe they're out of town. I get that. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about consistently just, not me, it's like they've gone AWOL. They're missing in action. That is an example of someone who has, the seed has fallen upon rocky places, and because it has no roots, because it's shallow dirt, it withers away. And so, I just want to make sure you understand. There's a lot of people who are confused with the presence of God and walking in faith. So let me explain just for a second. When someone experiences the presence of God, they're like, oh, wow, this is awesome. I want a little bit of that, okay? And that's awesome. But when they don't deliberately choose Jesus and to follow him by faith, that was just an experience. That was a one time. They experienced the presence of God, and that's great. But the goal is for them to have roots. And the only way you're going to have roots is to dig in and not be shallow. And so when we share the fruit, when we show the fruit of the Spirit, it's because we have roots. Check out what it says, and just, you know, off the turn there, 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. What John is saying is this: there are people who are with us, and now they're no longer. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about people who've moved away or maybe decide, okay, we feel like I'm going to go to another church. I mean, that's great. It's not about Lake Point Church. It's about just being a part of the body of Christ. I'm talking about those people who are just no longer with the church or in fellowship. That. And so we want to intentionally pray for them and continue to sow the seed in hope that it goes deeper and deeper. We have to be intentional with what we're doing. I'm gonna. There's a student in our youth ministry. Her name is Kaylee. Bring me your journal. So Kaylee is a seventh grader, right here at Red Top. Awesome. Thank you. Hey, y'all, give Kaylee a hand. She's nervous. She shows this to me almost every Sunday. As I'm walking out the door, she says, hey, look what I wrote down. She keeps journals of my messages like this. Seventh grader. I mean, God's going to use that. And I believe it. Sorry. She is digging deeper. She's being intentional. Sure, she's going to mess up. Yeah, she's going to mess up. But God has her on a path. She's taking notes. She's like, I want to learn more. I want to learn more. And so I hope this, I mean, this convicts me, right? And I know there are some people, more people that, we have some other students who do the same thing. And so we've got to be hungry for the word of God. We've got to be hungry. Okay, so that's enough of that. So hard hearts, shallow hearts, we got two more hearts and we're done. And then the third one is crowded hearts. The crowded hearts. We see this in verse 18 and 19. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. What are thorns? Let me give you some examples. A thorn could be looking at Instagram reels instead of reading your Bible. Ooh, did I step on some toes? Yeah, I stepped on my toes too. Instagram reels are funny. They are. It's like, well, they're good. Oh my gosh. Lord, help me. It could be staying up late. So late that there's no energy to you to get up and have time with the Lord. That could be a thorn. It could be just, you know, sports, hobbies, friends, projects around the house, or simple laziness. And that's, it could be that's your thorn. Some of you need to ask yourselves, what's keeping you from spending time in prayer, in God's word, and in fellowship with the church? What is keeping you from that? That is the thorn. So the seed of the word of God is all tied up in the weeds and the thorn of life. I want to say something here in addition to this. You know, parents, I'm going to talk to you. I'm a dad of six. You know, I'm not saying that I know all the answers, but we got a lot of experience, right? But parents, to help your kids with a thorn, because they're not developed right here, right? They're not going to have the discipline and the knowledge and the ability and the desire to really kind of remove their thorns. You're going to have to help them out with that. You are. And parents, some of you aren't going to like this, but I'm a pastor, I'm a shepherd, and I just need to say this. Some of you, all of us really, we need to do things that they may not like. For instance, going to church, going to youth group. Growing up in my house, if I ever questioned my mom, and Suzanne's the same way in her house, if we ever questioned our parents and we're going to church, be like, "You crazy? What? Are you sick?" Of course we're going to church. In fact, if I asked that question, we'd go to more church. We'd go to our church and then another church and then a revival every night. She'd find a revival for us to go to just because I asked. Right? Parents, don't give your kids an option. When they're 18, sure. Well, I want them to decide. You don't give them an option when it comes to the chores around the house. You're teaching them how to be responsible. Let's teach them how to fellowship and to fall in love with Jesus. Parents, I'm asking you, don't give your kids the option. It's not an option. Our kids learn that fast. And when we adopted three Ukrainians, after about 2 months of going to church every week, adopted son Lawson, who's here today, he'd be like, why do we keep going back to that big building and you know, singing songs? Why do we keep going back to that? And the original Bennetts are like, no, stop, don't do that. Abort, abort. Right? And now Lawson, he goes to church more than I do. I'm not lying. He comes here. He's picked another church in town that he likes, which is great. I want our kids to find their own church, okay, and to own their own faith. Absolutely, that he goes to church more than I do. He'd go on Thursday. He'd go on a Monday. He goes on Tuesday. It's like, where are you going? I'm going to church. But going back to the times, like, why we keep going back to there is not an option. Parents, don't make it an option. If there's anything I can tell, and I know I'm stepping on some toes here, but I'm sorry, okay? Just don't make it an option. Make your kids come to church kicking and screaming. I mean, provide a treat. Say, okay, we're going to go out to lunch every Sunday. Do what it takes. I mean, I've shared with you before that my mom, on the way to church, it was just me and my brother, we'd stop by a donut place called Shipley's, which is very much similar to Krispy Kreme's, hot a dozen donuts, me and my brother in the back seat, scarfing down a dozen donuts on the way to church. She'd pump us up with sugar and send us to kids' church. Right? And by the way, if you want to do that, our kids, volunteers, and staff can handle them, right? But whatever it takes, bribe them, reward them, do whatever. They've got to be in church. They've got to grow in their faith. Don't give them the option. Because later on in life, you're going to be like, I should have put my foot down. I should have put my foot down. So We just. So we have hard hearts, we have shallow hearts, we have crowded hearts. Parents, our kids, and all of us, we have crowded hearts. There's so much in here. There's so many distractions, so many desires. And then finally, we have the good heart. The final heart in this parable we see in verse 20. Others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, 60, some 100 times what is sown. Now, biblical scholars say, you know, a good crop is like 5% more, or even more than like 10%. 10% would be like amazing. But Jesus, he over-exaggerates all the time. He's like, oh yeah, it's going to be 30, 60, even 100 times full, more than that. It's a soil, it's a heart that says this: I believe what the Bible says about God is true. I believe there's only one way to heaven. I believe there's a hell and a heaven. I'm going to commit my life to loving him and obeying him. The result is someone who is producing fruit. They're producing fruit. We have some new believers sitting right here in this place. New believers who you see their fruit. Not only did they accept Christ, they got baptized. They're serving, they're coming to church, they're giving. Some are even going to a small group. I mean, you see the fruit of that. They keep saying around, those are the hearts. It's like, yes, that's the kind of heart that you want to make sure you have. The issue is not perfection, but direction. You're going to make mistakes, okay? The issue is not perfection, but direction. We need to examine ourselves. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And so, I want you to examine yourself. Examine your heart. What soil are you? What soil are you? Are you a hard heart? And even after you've accepted Christ, y'all, we need to continue to examine our hearts. Are we a hard heart where the word gets snatched quickly? Are we a shallow heart where, yeah, we see it bud up, but then because there's no root, because there's no root, we never see the fruit. You don't see fruit unless there's root, right? Or the distractions of the world. Got one foot in the world, one foot in Jesus, right? Is that your heart? Letting the thorns of life dictate your relationship with Christ? Or is your heart at a place where, man, I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. All that you have, please just invest in me. Pour yourself into me. I'm willing. I'm ready. And again, it's not perfection. It's about direction. He's going to direct you, okay? You're going in the right direction if you're doing that. And so, examine yourself. Let's examine ourselves. I'm going to close out the service doing that because my time's up, okay? Let's bow our head just for a minute. If you're just, yeah, I don't know how some of you in this room or watching online, you're responding to this message. You know, some of you may respond with conviction. It's like, yeah, he's right. Some of you may respond with anger. I can't believe that pastor. I can't help that. But all I know is this. I want you to examine your heart. Ask the Lord, where is my heart? What is causing you to not have fellowship with Jesus? What is causing you to not be the person God wants you to be? Confess that to him right now. Confess that to him. And then commit to him. Lord, I want more. I want to dig deeper. I want to be people like Kaylee who's writing notes and looking over them and just meditating on them. I want more. If that is you, commit to the Lord. Commit to the Lord. Heavenly Father, forgive us, Lord, for having hard hearts, shallow hearts, or hearts that are just in the weeds and the thorns of life. Forgive us, O Lord, of that. And Lord, help us to understand that only the good heart, the heart with the good soil, is a heart that's going to grow us closer to you. Lord, let us get to that point. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay. I love y'all. I really do. Okay. Invite someone next week. It's going to be an awesome week as always. Go check out Take Stock. Pull several stock options and let us know if you have any questions. We love you guys. We'll see y'all next week. Thank you.